Hey team, things are going to look a little different coming up. But this is a good thing. Sometimes change is hard, and it's something that we have been working on in the background for a little while now. Honestly, change is good. It's the whole reason Hamish and I started the podcast, and we feel the building industry needs it. Oh, and by the way, I'm Matt, Hamish's co-host who loves to poke the bear. But what's cool is we are now recording from the Pro Climber Australia Studios, who are our major sponsor of our podcast. It's like the perfect combination. We're kind of like Batman and Robin fighting the crime against an outdated, crappy building industry. With a perfect combination of pushing boundaries, sharing our knowledge, and starting real conversation about how we can improve the industry. Of course, I'm Batman, and really, Hamish is a little bit more like Alfred. Anyway, enjoy today's episode, which is coming directly from the Pro Climber Built to Last studio.
We're obviously coming from the
Portable Pro Climber
Studio. Portable Pro Climber Studio. So if everyone who actually listens to this podcast, we don't really have a set place where we record. We're pretty mobile. So today we're fortunate enough to be in Wilderness Build Co's HQ in Fitzroy.
The Wilderness Pro Climber Studio.
The Wilderness Pro Climber Built to Last Studio, of course. And today,
it's wrapped in Pro Climber.
It's all wrapped in Pro Climber. You just can't see it. Yep. Today we are joined by Vass from CR Kennedy. Vass, why are you here? Why do we have you on today?
And who are you?
Why do we have you on?
Do you want to talk to us about your you're a new dad, aren't you?
I am a new dad.
Yeah.
So it's very hard. I've now realized you can't really convey that to someone unless they've had a kid. Because I get told all sorts of stories. You know? Yep. The best thing that someone told me was, it is the best and worst thing that'll ever happen to you.
Absolutely.
It's like, yeah, it is.
Especially the first one. The first one is like such a disruption to your life because you are once, and you would know this, Matt, and you just recently had Noah. You're like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You can sleep in, you can stay up late, you can go out and get drunk and be hungover. You can't do that.
How are you going? Are you enjoying it? Like, have you?
Yeah, me, I'm good.
Like, so
for me as a guy, like, I feel pretty good about it. I'm the oldest of four kids. So, you know, I've gone through something similar a few times.
Yeah.
I would say for my wife, definitely much, much harder. So, she's got, you know, a history of anxiety and stuff. And going through that sort of to be. Like frank postnatal depression sort of stuff is a lot.
So she's doing everything right.
This is definitely not the reason why we got you on, but I think actually is an interesting to talk about because I've had male friends that have gone through postnatal depression and also I know of women close to me who've gone through postnatal depression. I know Lucy had a little bit. And it is actually a thing that people should be aware of and talk about more.
We have to get Julie back on. Maybe that's something
we
do.
We should get Julie back, you know, because there are a lot of young dads like listening to this, and it's a thing.
And
you're not doing anything wrong, you know. It's just something that's a reality. And
the way that I put it now, like having this experience with my wife and whatnot, she's doing well now. It's really good.
Shout out
to Australian. She was always doing well.
I'll shout out to the Australian healthcare system. Like, it's incredible. Like, the amount of resources out there for you if you know, like, that they're there. This sort of stuff is super common. Like, speaking to so many women now, they're just like, oh, you know, it was the worst thing ever. Like, I spoke to my mum, and you know, I don't know if it's on YouTube, but she literally said to me, she was a single mum with me when she had me, and she said, you know, I was in the 13th floor balcony just sort of thinking, is this high enough at one point?
Wow.
Yeah. And so this is not an unusual story.
And like, and I don't know enough about it, but I'm just going to butcher this, and I hope I don't get caught out for this. My understanding is that when you're not really set up for success, are you? Because you generally go into labor at nighttime, so you don't sleep for 24 hours. Your baby comes in the morning and then you are awake trying to look after this small human. You are the reason that this thing stays alive. All that responsibility comes, you know, comes back to you. You're trying to then catch up to this 24-hour bender that you've just gone on.
You should be used to that, shouldn't you?
What's that?
You should be used to that.
And then all of your hormones just change like that.
I'd say the no sleep and the hormones thing, insane.
Yeah.
Like, if you've ever seen one of those really roided up sort of gym junkie kind of guys, or if you've got any friends like that, you know when they come off cycle, they're a bit wild, you know.
Yeah.
Very similar. If you've had a baby in you and you've had X number of hormones for 9 months and you go cold turkey next day, no steroids, it's crazy.
Well, you know, that's a really good analogy, I reckon.
Three men talking about giving birth.
Yeah.
All right, listen up, ladies.
But let me tell you a thing about childbirth. But I think it is a good thing to, like, touch on, and we're not going to spend the whole conversation talking about it, but it is, it's a thing. It's a thing, right? Yeah, and it's really amazing to see and hear about the support that you've given your partner through this. You know, you sound like a pretty active dad, the conversation we've had. So good on you. I hope, you know, you're getting a bit more sleep now and that your wife is doing better. And little girl. Little
Oscar.
Oscar boy, that's right, Oscar.
50% chance.
Yeah, it was. I actually asked him when I saw him the other week and completely forgot.
But it's
great to hear that you're doing well.
Yeah, so we're
Bass,
good.
Tell us about who you are,
where you're from.
I suppose the reason you might have brought me on today is because we've got a bit of a history together with, I suppose, digital construction. My background's in land surveying and now I'm with C.I. Kennedy. C.I. Kennedy being Australia-wide and New Zealand distributor for photography, drones, medical imaging, digital construction products. We now do robots as well.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. We're not here to talk about medical imaging.
We're going to get off the pregnancy topic. But
I do want to talk about the robots at length ad nauseum today. So let's...
You've got robots?
Yeah. We've got humanoid and dog-style robots. Yeah.
Tell me, I want to jump into that.
No. Let him finish first.
So we can have like a little dog running around that's not Charlie.
We can have him on for Build a Dog. We want him on for Build a Dog.
All right, I'll put it on the list.
So it's just we get that in writing. C.R. Kennedy are going to supply us the robot builder.
Also C.R. Kennedy are coming on as
as
well. Actually, we
are Vass the dog. Vass and the Vass dog. The man.
Where's Vass gone?
Vass, go fetch me water.
So C.R. Kennedy, I suppose, like the interesting part about it is that it's been an Australian family business for 92 years.
So what did it start out doing?
Originally,
not robots.
I should memorize the whole spiel, to be honest, but I believe it was photography. So importing, you know, Hasselblad and Pentax and all the sort of high-end camera systems. And they
just generally speaking, like just for construction.
For construction, I'd say that's the last sort of 15 years that they've picked up
back
into.
Then they just would have had. A camera would have been cool.
This is back in like 1930 something, it's like, where it's like, a camera, dear God, you're stealing my soul. So it's changed a lot since, but now we've got, you know, fingers in all sorts of pies. But the reason that I'm here is because we've got a pretty big focus and Leica. So we do Leica products, which are lasers and measuring equipment globally, have a big focus in the construction industry now. So I think my whole spiel about it is, over the last 20 years, right, the biggest change in tech is that, whatever, it still does the same thing, but it's way easier to use.
Yeah.
Like it's not, you don't have to be a rocket surgeon to pull out a laser these days. And the laser is the size of your phone. Like it's supposed to jump.
I wonder how much smaller it's going to get. We're going to like have things in our eyes that we just like blink and it just measured something.
I mean, I can get into that if you want.
I mean, like, I guess the biggest gateway drug that you guys provide to the industry, in my opinion, is your 3D camera. Which is, you know, I guess where we started with our relationship with you guys, and we're very slowly working towards getting one of these beautiful set out stations. So,
the construction camera, honestly, and this isn't just a plug for you guys. If you're a builder and you do not have one, you're a fucking idiot.
I actually think
straight out.
So,
it's so cheap and affordable.
So for the cost. $1,500, $1,200, whatever it is.
You get a pizza if you pay $1,500 as well.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect. Great.
A pizza.
But it is like, if you think about, we're always talking about risk management, right? And we're talking about like giving the best product to our clients. For us to go around at certain stages and do a full 3D walkthrough, one, to show the client that, hey, that thing is in the wall. But two, Matt, I know you got a story about forgetting about where.
So I've got two stories. One of my clients was living in Japan.
Yep.
The whole build. Mm-hmm. We just kept scanning it and sending it to them.
Perfect.
They picked up errors along the way. Like, we didn't think that door was going to be like that. Can we change it? Can we do this? Easy. They actually went full nerd and got the full visual goggles and like walk around their house. So that was
you can do that with the
you can do walkthroughs.
They did that. So perfect for a client that might, if you're building in maybe a remote area that you want to keep the client informed, or they're not on site all the time or they're extremely busy. So that was one. Now two, my own house where the $1,500 for a camera, we'll just say that's what it costs. I don't actually remember the cost, but not going to be
12 or 30, I can't remember.
Yeah, so
use referral code Matt.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have
for the $1,500 price.
So
and you will split the difference.
What I did is we scan pre-plaster every project. You can see everything. We can measure a batten if we need to hang something from the wall from a TV to a piece of artwork, or can't find a pipe when joiners are wanting to screw something through and we don't want to hit the pipe, so we can remember where everything is a lot more. And it's all measured to within a few mil. Like, we've tested it. It's pretty good.
It's generally pretty reliable. I usually say a finger width or so.
Like, yeah. That's what you, like, it's incredibly close. So what happened is I don't know if I should blame Drew passing tech here, but what happened is that I'm going to blame him.
I don't think
it was his fault, but I'm going to blame him. What happened in my toilet, the water closet, the HRV outlet?
I don't want to know what happens in your toilet.
No, was not long. Man. It wasn't long enough, or it got cut by someone, and the plastered over it.
Okay,
We didn't. I had finished tiles everywhere. It was all like to rip it and find it. If I got it wrong, I was screwed. Like,
do you know what I reckon? Grand Designs were thinking, going, yes, yeah, he's pulling tiles off the wall.
So
content,
great content.
But what happened is, we got that camera up, measured the scan off all four walls. It was the same pinpoint. Put a hole through, little hole through, piece of wire to make sure we're touching it. It's like bang on the middle. Found it. I can tell you it was going to be a lot more than $1,500 to fix that problem.
Yeah.
And that camera paid for itself off in one instant hit. So,
and it's not just that too. Like, we're obviously in the high-performance game, and I know – have you been talking to the guys from some of the passive house designers about utilizing the scans as, I guess, reference point certification?
Yeah, potentially. So the idea is that you can actually get, like, full floor plans out of it if you're that inclined. Where we've got some architects that probably use the more step up commercial version of it that they use for their sort of renovation,
like their mapping,
sort of stuff. Yep. Which again, for what you guys do, you do mainly new builds, so it's probably less relevant. But yeah, you can definitely use that for mapping some existing buildings and retrofitting or reevaluating.
Are they a lot more expensive? Like
the commercial ones, like $12,000 or so.
But if you're if you're designing 10, 15 projects a year and renovations, and you're mapping out constantly.
It's a no-brainer. That makes no sense. Yeah. We like to say things like that, even with the set-out tools, like, it's not for everyone, but for the people it's for, it's not even a question. It's just, all right, I'm going to use that like twice a month, three times a month, whatever. I'm going to pay it off in 2 months, done.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's, that's the nature of a lot of the sort of tech that we do as well. It's not for everyone. We tend to do the more sort of high-end or specific, like you guys, it's Passive House, you know, the more specific solutions to things. But for the people that, you know, have the value in it, it's not even a question. Like, I don't really have to pitch it so much.
You know? So we know about the gateway drug, and that's the camera. I really want you to dive into the setouts, total stations, and even, I guess, the robotic add-ons that I know you can do to the total stations with the mobile little dude.
Can I flip the script a bit?
Absolutely.
Okay. And ask
a total station is a laser level to some extent.
It does that at the base level. Everything else. But to flip the script a little bit, because I think it might help, because I imagine you have a lot of builders that listen to this, and architects, might help them sort of, you know, understand what this sort of stuff is for.
Yes.
Talk to me about prefab. So what's your overview? Because I've got a lot of clients in the prefab manufacturing space now, and I'm also, spoilers, seeing Australian Sustainable Hardwoods next week.
Yep.
Talk to me about what you guys see.
I know you're talking to Chris at the moment.
Your mate.
So I think prefab is part of the solution to build more.
Yep. And I also know that because we've done a dozen SIPS projects, so that's some kind of prefabricated. I kind of know where your question's going, which is good.
Well, truss is a prefabricator. It's a form of
But if you think about it, like, you want confidence. Like, prefab is all about speed, right? There is no point building prefab if you're waiting for the slab to go down, if you're waiting for the walls to go up to measure your trusses. What is going to expedite that? You ordering the – before you even break ground on site, you ordering the SIPs. That's where the efficiencies is. How do you then make sure – and you might be able to answer this – how do you then make sure that the slab that you're putting on the ground that can't be fucking moved once it's there is millimeter perfect to that structure that's going on top?
So that's pretty much the ticket where, again, my background, land surveying, like, my experience building is I built a climbing wall at home and I rebuilt my deck. But when it comes to prefab, my perspective on it now is that when it works, it's the second coming of Christ. It's incredible. I've gone from, like, slab to lockup in like a week. When it doesn't work, dear God, what have I done? Like, why have I chosen to build prefab? What's wrong with me? Yeah. And there's really not that much middle ground, I'll be honest. Like, every time I've seen something go wrong, it's gone from a week to months, effectively. Like, redesign, potentially re-permit. Like,
is this a more commercial perspective, or you more
domestic and commercial, to be honest. SIPS manufacturers, to not name names, but one of the great Satans for you guys, prefab steel frames, I suppose. I see the looks.
I didn't say anything.
It still works if it's inside the thermal envelope.
Yeah. But there's also another one that's more.
Doesn't catch fire, Haim.
Jet fuel, but. and mixed media sort of modular construction. There's someone up in Shepparton that's getting pretty big with that as well. Yeah, as you've already said, like, it sort of has to click together like a puzzle, or like a Lego set.
Yep.
You design a slab, you design the frames, you design the pieces, you get to site, you land it, it works, right? Okay. How often is your concrete flat? And how flat is flat?
Our houses are perfect. They're all the time they're flat.
Perfect. Always in the right spot. You guys pay, you know, top dollar for best concrete every time. The concrete is always spent extra, you know, 2 weeks checking that it's level, grinding it.
Yep.
So, of course, it works, right?
Perfect.
So jumping back into reality, I would say the best slab I saw was up in Bendigo, and it was like across maybe a 15 by 30 sort of commercial slab. Worst I got was about 7 mil out for height, which is nuts. That's freaking good.
Pretty good.
Whoa. Because often when you ask concrete, oh, no, I'm within 5 mil. Yeah, have you checked? Nominally, I would say it's not unusual in a typical domestic build to see between 10 to 20 mil in undulation in that slab.
What?
I'm not joking. As in, like, I've gone to so many sites. Like, it's not, and everyone will tell you, oh, no. Like, it's perfect.
And do you know the reality is that you would never notice that?
Yes.
If you've walked on that, if you rode a skateboard over it, you would never notice it.
Yeah.
You'd never notice it. Not one thing. The only time you notice it is when it rains and then
you see the puddles. That's how I judge on a concrete slab on how good it was. And if there's big puddles the next day and you walk and you see.
So what you're saying is we should design all our concrete slabs with like 10 mil fall. So there's no water on them.
And lift the frame up.
Me out of a job.
Lift the frame up, let it tilt, and the water goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's honestly the simplest sort of explanation for using some digital set out tools. Step one there. You have to have a flat, you know, correct position, correct shape slab to construct the rest of your building on. The reason I brought up prefab is because in traditional construction, it's definitely more of a she'll be right, mate situation where, you know, you can kind of jerry-rig things around, move frames, make it work. It's fine. With prefab stuff, it's obviously much more challenging. And the idea here is I've got a number of both commercial domestic clients and manufacturers now that utilize this sort of digital layout tools to do that QA analysis and sort of assurance that they can maintain to their timelines on delivery. Where post-pour or even during pour, they're able to validate flatness to within whatever amount. Mm-hmm. But in the instance that, you know, you haven't had the best day concreting necessarily, you're able to at least rapidly, I'm talking like 20 minutes, go check all the key points where you're going to land your frames and panels and mark the shim height straight away. And check if you're going to have overrun on bottom plates or anything, just mark that straight away.
So it's not just used for setting out a slab.
Yeah, you know, it's that as well, but yeah, there's.
So do you use it for like say setting out electrical and all those things too?
So it depends what you're doing. I would say more on slab and pre slab is the ticket. Realistically, you can take any plan that you've got on your phone or like PDFs or whatever.
Yeah, maybe talk through what it is and what it does, because I reckon there would have been. I mean, there's probably a lot of listeners that have seen this out there. You know, with you walking around with the staff and an iPad and stuff like that. But what is it that it's doing? What's the unit doing?
Yeah.
How's it doing what it's doing? And then how do you do what you do with a screen in front of you?
Yeah. So the way I like to tell people who are new to it normally is when you typically do your own set out off grids or whatever you're using for an existing build, you nominate some datum, whether it's walls or the surveyor's marks or fences or whatever. And you go, okay, I'm going to take my offsets from there and start laying out 3, 4, 5, blah, blah, blah. There I go. Right. Now, same thing on the sort of total stations, the machines. You'll upload your plan. Instead of you running around taping 3, 4, 5, check, three people, whatever, you point the laser to your reference points. You go, yep, that's one, that's two, that's three. It'll tell you how good they are.
So you start with a reestablishment survey.
Ideally. Get your pins. Ideally. That's it. Which is not always the case if you're building, you know, more acreage sort of situations or internal fit-outs.
Pick a point.
Yeah. Pick something, make it work. And the machine will tell you how good it is. You go, okay, it's good enough for me. Rock and roll. Pick anything on your plan, whether it's bottom plates or slab or penetrations. It'll guide you physically, like which way to go, and say, okay, cool, that's within 5 mil. Mark it there, or better than that if you want. Off you go.
Yep. So you can actually go through and work out exactly the center of a waste point in a bathroom.
Yeah.
So on a greenfield site.
Generally, that's the application for plumbers that we have. So they use either that like total station or a GPS unit because it's got to be good enough.
Yeah.
And they'll have a list of all their pennos, wastewater, drainage, downpipes, whatever. They'll run out, they'll spray them up, and they'll also check them afterwards. So, I mean, between doing the spray and then doing the digging and the install, it's a bit of a difference. And you'll get certainty for where they are. And this is my new sort of slogan, imagine building to plan.
So do you buy this once and then that's it, or is there a subscription per month along with it? Or
for our lucky viewers, today only. No. So look, with Leica products, I will say they're definitely the more high-end sort of more premium solution for this sort of stuff. And with that, you don't get subscriptions. You just buy it, it's yours.
Is that the one that we typically see that will Mark?
Mark's got one, yeah.
Yeah, so Mark MVH has one.
And that's just a buy, no subscription, see you later.
No, you just yeah. Like, I mean, you can pay for updates.
And look, let's be fair. Like, yeah. These things aren't cheap.
Mm-hmm.
However, you need to think about it this way. And this is where we're starting to justify it. And we will pull the trigger on it very soon. You're eliminating the need to put any hurdles. You're eliminating the need to getting your surveyor out to do your grid lines, although maybe it's a re-establishing survey.
Yeah.
But that's fine. You can do that. You can set out a house one person.
In a day?
In an hour.
Like, it's so quick. It's ridiculous.
And what do they cost? Like, I actually don't know.
Anywhere from like 30 to 60 grand, depending which one.
60 is like the bee's knees.
60 can run like diggers. So you can tell diggers where to dig, like automatically to get final trim. It's not for you necessarily.
Yeah, Hamish and I need? Like a standard?
Probably around like 47, 50 grand or so.
And they're going to come down in price as technology comes
generally,
through.
Generally, yeah. And as well, most.
We're going to hold our vest to
that. No, because like the reason
passive
I say.
House discounts today yes, only.
Yeah. No, because I say people say 40, 60 grand is so expensive for tool, but the reality is tools are so expensive. But we look at this, so I'm just going
to
do quick
math. But that's what I was saying. You need to break down what the problem is solving.
Yeah, like, so
if
like
you think about the labor that you're saving.
There's a week to set out a whole project between two people.
So I would literally have like in my set out, there might be five, six grand worth of stuff, material, labor, whatever, plus, you know, $1,500 to get your surveyor out. So you do five jobs a year, it's paid for itself.
At a minimum, that's sort of what you're looking at. I would say the more big ticket stuff, because often people ask me, oh, is it faster, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, look, I don't try and convince people it's faster. I know it's faster, you'll get faster. It's more about these situations where it's mission critical, right?
Yeah.
So you're not about doing it, you know, 10 times faster. You're about doing it once and doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah, actually imagine building to plan. Like, I love that. Yeah. But you're actually built, but it's giving you the confidence to go, right, I'm going to order my SIPs or order my prefab or order my windows or whatever, like before you even start on site, and knowing as long as I'm building to plan – as long as I'm doing everything that this screen in front of me is telling me to do, it's going to be fine.
And if you've got multiple heights, that's where the efficiencies come.
Oh, sloping sides,
so most of my jobs are flat site, pretty simple.
Mm.
Like for me to justify it would be a few – like
it's
I'd have
a bit
to
trickier.
Do,
definitely.
I've seen some of your projects where you're on slope sites and you've got cuts and you've got multiple heights. Like it almost paid itself off in the job at the time.
I reckon it would get close over a couple of jobs if you think about expediting like supervision, labor, and then other miscellaneous kind of set out-y fuckery stuff.
Mm.
Like even the plumber and the Sparky, I mean, I know their price may or may not come down, but their job would get easier.
Yeah.
And I think if you could demonstrate to them how much easier it's going to be. Now, big plug to Daniel Parham, and he doesn't use one of your units, but he's been using
something similar.
Trimble for a long time, and he has the digger.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
So what's the digger bit do? It literally just tells you like dig here.
Yeah, and you can actually maps where your bucket is,
and you put like a sensor on your digger.
Yeah,
but it's got a bunch of like little receivers on the digger arm. It's incredible. Like, the stuff's wild.
It's like playing a video game. Like, imagine you're playing like a simulator of a digger, and you've got a screen like of what it's meant to be and where you're meant to go and when you're meant to dig and when you're too high and too low and everything. It just tells you.
But so you could set out an asset of a pipe and be like, sensor, don't.
Well,
like,
so again, to give Daniel a plug, because he does it, and you can do the same thing with the Leica stuff. So he does design in PlusSpec. He pulls out a PlusSpec, like literally just a layer, puts it into the set out station,
tablet or whatever,
and he does block set out to the millimeter. He does rod set out to the millimeter, footing level, like, and some of the sites he's on super tricky. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the best case use of where this stuff would come into play.
I look at Brad's job that he's got in the middle.
Oh, that is prime for this.
Yeah.
Prime.
Because you set and forget.
Yeah.
Hey, Hayne, winter's coming up.
Yeah, do you know what? And I don't care, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because our buildings are going to be wrapped with ProClimber, and it means that as soon as my roof, my walls are wrapped, my windows don't even need to be in, I can start thinking about prepping my frame inside and doing all my inside rough-ins without the risk of getting wet.
Yeah, it's something that helps us speed up the time on site. And we just know that even in summer, my team have a place to head undercover and continue working. So it allows us to work inside and outside at the same time.
Yeah, ProClimber products, absolute non-negotiable on Sanctum Homes and Carlin Construction site.
100%, mate.
Biggest headache on site? It's when the plaster goes up and suddenly everyone forgets exactly where the services are. We've started using the Rico Theatre with Matterport to solve that. Before we close the walls, we do a quick lap with the 360 camera. It builds an interactive 3D model that gives you X-ray vision for the life of the building. You can spin around, zoom in, and see exactly where every pipe and cable run is. No more guessing from blurry phone photos. It's dead easy to use and saves massive stress during defects or renos. Grab a kit from CR Kennedy Crew. Once you've got your hidden services captured, you wonder how you built without it.
If you're ready to deliver better buildings, join the Australian Passive House Association for the Thrive 2026 conference in Melbourne on June 25th and 26th. Come a day early on the 24th for the hands-on workshop and training day to learn directly from the industry's best. It's the ultimate chance for builders and designers to gain real-world project insights. Early bird tickets are now gone, but as a Mindful Builder listener, you can still save 10%. Head to the Passive House website and use their exclusive promo code, The Mindful Builder. We'll see you there.
Like, for me, it's just, it doesn't matter what brand it is, it's just exciting to see people getting more digital, more sort of into the tricky stuff, because I was so, like, and prior to getting involved with CR Kennedy, just in land surveying, I was so blind to, I suppose, the construction industry and, like, what, you know, was normal, I suppose, where I, as a non-builder, I'm just kind of like, oh, you know, plans. So if I go out there and measure whatever is on that plan, it's going to be exact. It's going to be pretty much the same, like within five. Don't smile.
But you know what? It's human error.
Yeah, it's just part of the game. Like, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. It's just more that's the way that life works. Like, there's, you know, sort of push and pull. We just get it done. There's a vision that you achieve. That's it. So coming at it from a like my perspective before this was like, there's only a right way and a wrong way. But no, there's obviously like quite a broad set.
Other than the set out stations, I mean, I know because the like some of these things aren't accessible.
Yeah.
Do you hire the units to?
Yeah, so
to
we do all the hires and training. We really, really put a lot of time into the training support and sort of business integration part of it.
And so I'll tell you that's 100% correct. Not just say like isn't Vass with his selling hat on now. Like you guys come out on site a few weeks ago and showed all my team how to use a camera.
Yep.
We even
had a retraining session the other day because we were having a couple of issues with getting it uploaded onto on the Matterport. But even just you training them on where to position the camera.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, and actually just looking at the plans beforehand and really just working out where you're going to put the camera and just having a think about it for 5 minutes before you start. And that actually capture was the best one we've ever done.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I take full credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But so what are some of the other cool stuff?
What other cool shit happened?
Yeah,
We're talking about this is like future construction technology here. Which really kind of isn't. It's been here for a long time, but it's starting to sort of bleed its way into residential, and it's becoming accessible for residential. What are some of the other cool stuff that C.R. Kennedy?
Just like earlier, I want to flip the script for a second, and it's one of these things that I get asked.
Is it your
like,
podcast, is it?
Yeah. No.
Where today we're at the C.R. Kennedy podcast.
So, one thing that I get asked a lot about, because it's a really sort of like salient, you know, besides AI sort of thing, it's VR.
Yep.
And I want to pop the bubble in VR. I think if someone's selling you VR, it's often a real like snake oil thing. It is actually pretty tricky to get, you know, VR to what a builder would need generally. You get something out of it. But beyond that, I think the more exciting thing to be aware of, besides the sort of digital construction, 3D modeling, all that sort of stuff, is, yeah, that like robotics space, honestly. We're getting some inquiries, probably less domestic but more commercial infrastructure for literally like exoskeletons at this point.
Do I do the 100 mil trick?
What, with the exoskeleton?
Yeah.
For the right price, we'll do anything.
talk to me, like I'm in my brain thinking that this robot comes on site and it's hanging plaster sheets.
Well, hang on, are you talking about a different thing though?
There's two different things.
So exoskeletons.
A few things. So yeah. There's the exoskeletons, which we were at Holmes Glen yesterday and that was sort of a big feature for them as well. Which is more of a support, like mecha bodysuit.
Like what Brad has.
Yeah.
Okay, yep, cool.
Yeah. Beyond that, we have the humanoid robot, which, look, to be honest, is more of a research sort of space.
Just go back to this conversation.
So it's like a safety device for your body to help you lift.
What's it doing? Yeah.
The target market, obviously, is to reduce strain on, like, let's say at the very basic level, if you're 85 and walking up a mountain, you can walk up a mountain in an exoskeleton, no worries. But we're getting to the stage where it's starting to be, okay, if I want to lift heavy products or if I'm doing repetitive motions on site, et cetera, this is starting to play in. I'm not going to say like, hey, go out and buy an exoskeleton. That's not what
Are they expensive? Like what's roughly?
How much was Brad's? Brad's a few grand landed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not the exoskeleton guy. I'm very sorry.
I'm just going to say like, honestly, like I think let's just call it $5,000. I'm even going to call it $10,000 as a tradie. Yeah. Like if you intend on being on the tools for the next 15 years, that is the best $10,000 you could possibly spend.
Well, as soon as Brad got it, like I turned to some of my, like when I say older guys, some of the guys sitting 40, 40, 45, my age. I said, this is a no-brainer. If you guys want to stay on the tools,
yeah,
like Sanctum Home should look at investing in some of these for you guys, like because your bodies ain't getting any younger.
Maybe those apprentices, when they're 50 to start their apprenticeship, that the government have brought out might be.
Oh, well, they need to come out with all their exoskeletons.
Oh, we're all living longer.
Free exoskeleton if you start an apprenticeship at the age of 50.
Yeah. That's a dystopian future. So look, I think the robotics space is definitely, you mentioned price, is definitely coming down. I know, like, 10 years ago or whatever, we'd all be looking at those Boston Dynamics dogs like jumping around and stuff. Yeah. Like, wow, that's $1 trillion for a military to buy a dog or whatever. Now it's more like $10,000-$20,000 and you have a robot dog.
But what does the robot dog do?
So the robot dog is probably has more market penetration than exoskeleton at this stage. There's a little one that's more of a runaround sensor camera. It logs everything for you. And there's a big one where
protects the sites from the baddies.
Well, I was going to say, both of you could ride it.
Hang on. So let's go back to the dog for a sec. Right. So the dog can act as a camera.
Well, it has to. So the dog can navigate, right? So it's got sensors on it. It's got a laser scanner and it's got cameras in order to allow it to, you know, navigate the environment and avoid obstacles and whatnot. The main use for the bigger dogs at the moment is site inspections, autonomous, and hazardous inspections as well. So we're talking about, you know, mine sites, fires, waste material, whatever, just automate this thing.
Do they look like dogs?
It's got four legs. I can add a tail to it for the right price if you want.
Like ears and like...
No.
Does it bark?
Can we get that sound bite, please?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, anyway.
Yeah, I'll they're out there. I think we've got a bunch of videos of them dancing and doing flips and walking upstairs and stuff. You can
just go get Smoko. Send the robot dog down to
send Robo out.
We've already had jokes about the dogs unionizing. Don't worry.
But like, let's look at like the household. So like, I've got two Robo vacs. I've got one upstairs and downstairs. One does its vac and mop in the morning. Does a afternoon vac after dinner, and then upstairs goes. And they, how long ago were? $10,000.
They're
now only $1,000, not even.
Yeah, I mean, robotics is being introduced into our life, you know, more and more these days without us kind of even knowing, because I don't really think about that as a robot. But it is a robot.
So I've seen, I got served some crap on Instagram about like, yeah, when you talk about the 80-year-old hiking, that they put on these things, and I think it's China or Korea, and you put on these leg things and you walk up these massive mountains and they're at the end of it, they're like, oh, I'm not even tired.
Yeah, so that's like the base level of that sort of technology. That sort of we're becoming androids, I suppose.
Like it takes a strain off, but think about it. Like you're 80, you love walking. Yeah. It takes a strain off your body, and you can continue to do the bits you love.
Gets you out and about, doesn't
it? Maybe your heart might cark it halfway through, but like at least you're.
All right, so we've got robot dogs, and then what are these ones that we can ride around the building site?
Yeah, so that's the big boy. Horses. That's the one. I wish I knew off the top of my head. I think. It's like a 60-kilo carrying capacity or something on it. So you could actually load like tools and materials on it.
I'm overweight, bud.
There's also a minimum height to be on the dog. Yeah.
Minimum height.
Listen, I'm only an inch or two tall, all right?
I walk on site and I've got like my Disneyland with a little thing. No, Matt, you can't jump on the robot.
That's where we do what's called vertical integration. We sell platform shoes as well.
Short joke. Never had that one before. You guys are really original.
Oh, this is brilliant. I love it. Anyway.
So look, robotics is, I would say, beyond the lasers and the set out stuff. That's somewhere you want to keep your eyes on. We've had someone, it's not directly in your space, a high-end builder in Victoria, Scotty from W Build.
Yep.
We put him in contact with our guys from Unitree in China. I think he went over and sort of looked at their factories and everything else. So there's a lot of interest in that robotic space at the moment. I'm curious to see less about, you know, what's new in tech and more about real people using it. Like, yeah, that's what I'm about.
Like glasses and like surely there's got to be like some form of glasses that eventually come out you can measure off like, you know, without getting a tape measure out and gives you an accurate measurement. And
no, I thought I saw something online of a guy, like a roofer measuring stuff and he would just like take photos as he's measuring and then go back to his drop saw and then he'd just bring up a thing in his glasses of
yeah.
I mean, this is simple technology, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You can see, oh, that's that length, that's that length, that's that length, rather than have to write it all down and forget.
So that's the principal idea with the camera that you guys have, right? It's called, if someone wants to go deep dive, put themselves to sleep, photogrammetry, which is like the maths and science of you take a bunch of photos and it straps into a 3D model, right? So it's the same thing. You can do it from live, you know, glasses, like Meta glasses and whatnot. So
and they're not a they're going hard on that space. I think I saw.
Yeah, somewhere. The virtual reality space and all
I think,
that.
I think, yeah, but like even Apple, their VR thing died pretty quickly, didn't it? Like, so if they're not
what
making
it called, I don't even remember.
Yeah,
what was Apple one.
Yeah, but if they're not making it work,
yeah,
to me, like, hey, it's not there. Like, they're the ultimate of making a product. If they can't get it to take off, then probably it's semi dead.
So as a measurement nerd, as a land surveyor, that's where, you know, the cookie starts to crumble, where everyone gets excited about 3D models and stuff, but it's like, hey, if I'm cutting timber or steel to fit, I need that to be within 2 mil or whatever. Which, again, if someone's selling you a VR solution, I guarantee you, I put my hat on it, it's not like 10 mil maybe if you're lucky.
So VR is good for just
context.
Gaming.
Yeah.
I've got some friends in Acciona who are looking heavily into that space. Acciona is like a global sort of engineering construction firm, more for infrastructure safety assessment stuff. So virtual site walkthroughs, identifying hazards, visualizing services underground, which is pretty cool as well. So jumping back on those plumbers that are doing the greenfields and everything, they're recording all those assets before they're buried now as well. So you actual location.
So we don't get those old hand-drawn plans that have the feet and you can't read it. That
yeah, I just get like a photo of you know where the plumbers run
and a dowsing rod. Yeah, and, you know. Yeah.
So okay, so exoskeletons, robots,
drones, lasers.
So before we just go away from like the robots for a second. You know, we're sitting here championing trades and we're championing people getting into apprenticeships and that, you know, it's a reasonably safe kind of market to be in if you are wanting a job. When are the robots coming?
Yeah, when are they going to paint our walls?
That's the thing that I think is funny about all this AI is taking my job thing, where I'm like a AI pessimist in that sense, where if your job is making slabs, ChatGPT is not going to pull you a slab for quite a while.
Yeah.
Like if your job is, you know, putting up frames or your job, that sort of stuff, I don't see going towards robots in AI for a while. I've worked with a couple of firms now in the 3D concrete printing space as well, which is, you know, novel, but
I think that's a load of crap. I'm straight out. I just work with clients. I straight out will tell you. My opinion is like, who's going to move these massive machines to every site? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And concrete, have we not understood that it's one of the biggest contributors to greenhouse gas emissions in the world? Yeah. And unless you're going to go and enviro concrete, which no one wants to pay for.
Or even the polymer stuff that old mate came
Yeah, like that. That's awesome in that sense. But these massive machines are going to start 3D printing houses. Like, come on.
My opinions are my own and I share similar opinions. There's a way to do it, I think, but it's very, very challenging to make it commercially viable. I'm all in on prefab, I'll be honest. But
I think prefab's a big
one. I am too, but not that type of prefab.
Not that, No.
I think any kind of like controlled construction, I mean, let's call it that, where it's in a factory, however it is, and then coming to site.
Who wants to live in a concrete house?
Like, I actually really like concrete.
Have we not really, that's going back to post-war type of houses. They racked up these concrete houses and now they suck.
Aesthetic, like I'm looking at a precast concrete wall there. Like aesthetically,
I love it.
I quite like the look of it, but I don't think it's a viable product. Well, sorry.
Energy input-wise.
It absolutely is a viable product, but from an energy consumption point of view, I don't absolutely rate it. Now, exoskeletons, robots, drones.
So typical, you know, DJI stuff and a couple of other brands as well. For construction.
For Instagram.
For Instagram, yeah, that's the easy answer. You press a button, it follows you around and makes videos of you. You seen those ones or not?
No.
Oh, they're little mini ones now. So
they're DJI minis.
Yeah, DJI.
Like, they're only like $300-$400.
Yeah, you pop them up in the air, it follows you around. You pretend that you got third person view if you want.
And it can actually go through a job site through all the walls.
Yeah, so we tested it. There was a video that we put out ages ago.
Can you get me one of them, please?
Yeah, I'll add it to the list with the exoskeleton, robot dog.
Next time I'm going to walk in.
Platform shoes. Got it.
Got no money. had to sell the house.
Matt is
got a dog.
And you're living in virtual reality the whole time as well.
I'm pretending I'm still in my old house.
Wake up, Matt, wake up.
Come on, Matt, wake up.
Yeah, so no, that's definitely
I feel like
worth
it's an episode of Black Mirror here. that show scares me.
Oh, yeah.
I love it, but it scares the shit out of me.
We're getting there.
I stopped watching it because it was a little bit too – I'm just like, oh, I could actually see a world where this is actually
reality. The one that got me was when the partner had like a brain – cancer and they can fix you, but you get a subscription. But as time went, the subscription kept going up to for so many hours per day, but they couldn't afford it. And so eventually they just turned the subscription off and they just ads. The person just talks ads all day. If you don't pay the next subscription during the day, they're out of nowhere, they'd be like, oh, and welcome to ProClimber. Like, and they just start talking and then they go back to conversation. So like that was like, oh my God.
Oh. Grandma's still alive, but she won't shut up about ProClimber. Yeah, yeah.
So like, it's honestly one of my favorite shows, but every time I can do one episode and then I need to take a breath because I am like freaked out.
Sidetrack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The brain of Matt and Hamish.
So I know some of the other things we're talking about, like camera's a big one, like, you know, site security and.
So that's what we're going to try with you guys as well, that time-lapse camera. So I was chatting to Michael before I came here from our office and. Yeah, I think that'll be a great sort of field test of the product with you guys for specifically, I suppose, content really and evaluation of the build.
And are we allowed, like with that one, can you remotely pull the content?
It's a good question. I'll be honest, it's Michael questions. Yeah, like it's a new product for us.
Yeah, because so if you think about it, it'd be great if like
– just
like,
stream it out.
Stream it out would be awesome. Yeah.
Site security.
Yeah, we do all the CCTV stuff as well.
Are you like the Reolink kind of stuff? Or
as in what brand do we do?
Yeah.
So we do Dawa mainly.
Oh, that's what I've got for my house.
Oh, there you go.
Do they have one with like a solar panel and like a camera with a sim? Yeah, okay, cool.
Pretty standard. So Dawa's a pretty massive brand for us. So I think we did all of Crown as well.
When you say Dawa, as in the fishing brand Dawa?
Is it a fishing brand?
No, is it D-A-I-W-A?
D-A-I-W, no, no, no. So, like D-A-H.
Oh, okay.
So question on cameras, because Dylan from All Projects – was he messaged us last week and someone went on site and stole his cameras.
Oh, no. Like cameras.
The actual security cameras. So he needs now security cameras for the security camera.
The irony of it all.
But like, because I feel like that's something I'm going to look into investing next. I used to have like made my own one up, but I'm like, one, I don't know. Because what happened is we actually got broken into, caught the person stealing it, caught the person, and then they're just like, we just can't do anything for it. And I'm like, well, then what's the point of having all this? It didn't change anything with insurance. I was like, what's the point of the effort?
Well, you've got good content.
Mm.
we literally call, I got a call from Cash Converters being like, the people are here trying to sell all your stuff. Is this your team? No, police got there, arrested. And we gave them the footage, but long story short, what it didn't capture is them actually breaking into the site from the street to prove that they broke in, but you see them jump the fence.
Oh.
But they needed it from the other, because
how does that work? When it comes
common
to
sense. I don't know. I don't know. I just was like, well, whatever. I got my tools back. So how about technology, cool things? We talk a lot of builder stuff. How about for architects or engineers?
So we've talked about
robot architects.
Robot stuff. Yeah, listen, you're living in a dream now. No, look, the crazy thing about my job, and having come from like, I suppose, somewhat of a one-track sort of land survey experience, I'll have a day now where I'm with, you know, a domestic builder in the morning. In the afternoon, I'm with maybe a plumber. And maybe the next day, I'm with a stonemason. And the afternoon and the next day, I'm with Toyota in Altona. So there's these products I'm talking about, like all this measurement, laser, robot stuff, like I opened with, the cool part is that it's actually not that hard to sort of start using it and getting into it. So in terms of like getting back to your question, the architect space, the most relevant stuff to talk about is the measure ups. So whether it's that commercial camera that gets you like super accurate sort of models and floor plans of whatever building you're fitting out, more commercial sense, I'd say, or the tools to lay out interior fit out solutions for cabinet makers and just, you know, interior fit out framing, whatever, guys. That's sort of where the focus is at the moment. That's where we're finding all the traction. And you probably saw our a printer that drives around, sort of prints on slab.
Mark had that at Turak.
He actually did it.
He did a little piece with Alex. Yeah.
Yeah, and he got it to write in VH.
Yeah.
What does it actually write it in? Like a
asbestos. No, okay. No, it's literally ink. So the company
And it doesn't wash off in the rain?
The thing that gets it over time is UV.
Yeah.
So most permanent one in Australian sun, car park test. Yeah, a few months out of it.
Okay, cool.
Sort of wears out.
Yeah.
But if you've been there for a few months, God, that's slow building.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say, just to save us a lot of, because it's a very exciting product. Don't get me wrong. I love it. It's
not
awesome.
For residential.
Not for residential.
It's for massive commercial warehouses and fit outs. And
good question. I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, to your point before about a big investment. Like, are you finding, say, maybe builders partnering up and buying one together? Like, is that something that you're kind of seeing?
This is my secondhand info from Alex. But what's happened, the clearest case of that is in Taz, to give a shout out to Tassie Builders Blog.
Oh, yeah.
So I believe
Sean.
Shawnee Prawny. Yeah, we love Sean.
So I believe he initially, like, picked it up to share across a couple of partners, I suppose.
I actually knew that, which is why I was.
So what's he done? He's bought one himself and then leases it out.
Yeah, him and his mates bought one together.
But what if you all need it on the same day?
Well, this is, I guess, where's the tricky part is. But
how often do you ever do
but
that?
But think about that though. Like, when would you and I be pouring a slab on exactly the same
day? The day that we bought one together.
Yeah. Probably.
He's trying to sell you on it right now.
Probably. But do you know what I mean? Like, I think you can kind of manage around that.
No,
Matt needs it there. All right, I'll just put my slab there.
But for me, where I see the value more so is it's like literally, I don't know, does it take elevations as well? And for me, how I see like this working in my brains, you've done it. It's not the value in this slab. It's to set out every electrical point, every power point,
correct me if I'm wrong, but you could go through and work at exactly where that downlight is based off the drawings.
So what's cool is that you can upload any of the drawings you want. It'll point out to you in the building where everything goes, literally on the wall and the ceiling.
So imagine you
can
setup.
Like go up a ladder and it can go beep, 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 it's right there.
Better than that, it'll just show you the laser. It'll immediately ping the laser to exactly where to drill the hole.
So that's why I see the value in it as well. More so from actually, especially on a high-level architectural detail job, because – if the plans are right, we shouldn't have a problem,
So then, imagine building to plan.
So then, okay, just and maybe I think I know the answer to this, but say we're on a greenfield site, we've got our triangulation points. Mm-hmm. How does that then translate inside once you're in the building and maybe you've got to set it up on the lower level and then you've got to set
be
it up
a pin,
on the
wouldn't it? Just be a pin.
Yeah, good question. So two ways around it. I'll try not to get too deep into it, but one thing to consider is after you've got, you know, the slab or base down, whatever you have, doesn't matter where that is, that's now where your house is. So instead of setting up off your reference points after that, you actually probably come off the slab edge or something and say, hey, this is where my slab is. Tell me where everything else is now. Likewise, on a second floor or even inside of like, you know, internal sort of fit out situation, on the plans, whoever's drawing it up will probably have the existing walls. You tell it, okay, wall one, wall two, bing, bing. We know where that is. We know where we are. Awesome. Maybe I'll set my height off, you know, lift core or RL somewhere. And then it knows all the elevations in the room as well.
And is it a 360 laser? Is that
how? Yeah, 360 laser. You can do, you know, plumb your points up and down, check your wall for plumbness if you do tilt panels or whatever. Yeah, it's really, I don't know, I get really excited about it when I start using it with someone that actually sees the value. It's
even joinery, just like.
All of it. Stone, yeah. Measuring stone.
Nah, that left some of them to do that part.
I know.
Yeah,
definitely, but you could still measure stone with this.
I do have one client here in Vic, Creator Homes, that does that. So Creator Homes have picked one up and they do all their own set out, and they also do their templating for their joiners and some of their stonemasons as well. Because it's got that pen that you can go around and tap.
How about window heights? Boom, done. Yeah. Double checked.
Oh, all of it.
Yeah.
Subfloor, especially like a subfloor, even like that.
I think it's back to your point before, imagine building to plan. Like everything is built to plan because there is, oh, I mean, the job that you were at on site the other day and you're outside, like that is a tricky building site. Yeah. I guarantee if you went and got a tape measure and measured everything and then referenced it back to plan, there'd be discrepancies everywhere. But it's all obviously within, you know, 3 mil here, 4 mil there, 5 mil, like whatever. But there'd still be discrepancies.
So putting on the business hat, I see a lot of waste in the process where every trade and every contractor is remeasuring. Like there's never a true measure. There's never anyone that goes, oh, here's the actual info. Everyone you engage has to do a separate measure again.
You've sold me.
Again.
We, conscious on time, we have a segment called The Mindful Builder. What's the segment? I've got
MEGT.
MEGT, Mindful Moment. Sponsored by MEGT, Australia's leading apprenticeship experts. Question I have for you, usually Hamish and I give a bit of advice for these apprentices or kids looking to get into the industry. The question I have is, if you're a young kid getting into it, how do you start learning about this tech side of thing and get in early, maybe to do a course or some training to understand what the future might look like? What avenues would they have from that perspective?
Yeah, excellent question. I will say the best answer for learning for anyone right now, honestly, like LLMs, like ChatGPT. You have the world's information straight away that'll guide you to where you need to go. Beyond that, we're starting to work with TAFEs and we're trying to introduce this sort of like digital construction technology as an extension to their education, not as a replacement of.
But that would be a great, like, hey, 4-week course.
Mm-hmm.
But even for us and, like, our team, like, go do the digital construction course.
Mm.
I would love a 4-week. Like, I would invest the money in getting my apprentices trained up on them.
Yeah.
We've got, again, to jump into it, rather than pointing to a direct source, what I want to say, like, for all you kids out there, don't be afraid of tech. Don't be afraid of jumping on the computer. Don't be afraid of, you know, CAD and scary things like this. Like a lot of this stuff isn't learnt in a classroom. It's learnt by you finding, you know, you have something you want to do and having a crack at it.
That's a good point.
Vass, how do we get onto you? How do people contact you? Social media, websites, emails, anything like that?
Yeah, so you can catch us on Insta at CR Kennedy Build. We'll try and put up some, you know, relevant content for everyone. Otherwise, you can catch the website on crkennedy.com.au, I believe, where you can see all the products, etc. And you'll find emails and contact numbers there, or give us a DM on Insta. We're all over Australia. And like I said, we really focus on training, coming out with you and
selling. Your customer service is excellent.
Reach out to anything to these guys. It's in our show notes. Vass, thank
you. Future construction.
Yeah.
What it is.
Future. Yeah. And you've got to accept it. It's happening.
Don't fight it.
It's coming. Imagine just building to plan.
Change is good.
Your robots are coming. You heard it from Vass here today. The robots are coming.
Yeah, the dogs. The little Hamish on my job site. Can't wait to have him running around.
I thought they're calling it Vass.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks, guys. Hey, man.